This is The Fix-It Show on WTMJ. Advice and opinions expressed during the program are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC. When it comes to home repairs, we could all use a guy. Well, we've got the guy, and we've got the show. For all your home improvement questions, we've got answers. This is The Fix-It Show on WTMJ. Presented by J&B Construction and Siding Unlimited. Now, here's your host, Dayton Kane and David Nason.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. April 11th. And luckily, my shuttle landed safely in the ocean, and here I'm. Right. I made it in on time. So
you're an astronaut?
That was quite impressive see it happen yesterday, and we got our astronauts back safe and sound, which was pretty cool. Yeah. And how was your week?
Good morning. It was good. Yeah. Busy. Again, home inspections, some consulting work and stuff.
This is the time of year I run 60, 70 hours a week for about a month, and then it calms down a little bit.
Well, but, good. So you're busy
lots of appointments, lots of things going on, but that's a good thing. I'd rather be busy than not.
You know, it's going to be a, I missed the weather there. Is it supposed to be nice today? Cool, but.
Yeah, it's supposed to be decent. Yeah. The rain coming in again tonight. It seems like we've been getting a lot of rain at night, which is good. I'd rather have it at night.
I think we're caught up on rain. I don't know that we need more rain right now.
They're saying another inch coming in Waukesha.
But it's supposed to warm up this week, right?
Yes, yes.
And almost to 80 sometime middle of the
week? We've turned the corner and actually are done with the 30s at this point and can move outside and start working on the house.
Stuff will really start growing outside. We'll have to be talking about our lawn soon. And
So you had an interesting... inspection we were talking about.
I shared a little bit with you and Jason Fox from that one. Just some of the theme. So I you know, if you want to do work on your own home or you want to fix up a home to sell it, great. More power to you. But you got to do things right. You know, and things that need permits or work, you got to know what you don't know.
Right.
Essentially, or you know, kind of for me, when I do work on my home, I do work that I know I can do, meaning carpentry work, you know, fixing some things. I can replace a faucet, but I'm not replumbing my house.
Right.
I'm not rewiring my house. I can change a light fixture and a switch and stuff like that. And you got to take the proper precautions, you know, turn a breaker off or whatever.
Right.
But when you're really improving, remodeling home to sell it, if you're going to add a door between a house and a garage, maybe there wasn't a door there before, and now you have to put a door between your house and the garage, that door has to be a fire door. You know, you can't just buy an exterior door. It's a metal. Oh, it's got to have a label on the door and on the frame. It's specifically for that purpose, a 20-minute fire rated door to go in there. Oh, and by the way, you got to install it in the right direction. You know, it has a sill. The sill should be to the outside, not to the inside of the room. You're looking at the sill. So I saw that.
The other thing that when you're cutting a hole in a wall and putting in a door or a window, or you need a header above that framing space that to hold things up and make sure everything's secure.
Exactly.
You need the king studs. Yep. You need to work. You can't just cut a hole in a wall and stick a backwards door in and call it good.
Right.
Like, and there are steps that need to be taken.
Right. And speaking of steps, usually your floor of your house is higher than the floor of the garage. It's just that it's done for several reasons. Just you have framing, you have floor framing, so that's going to be higher. But also just to make sure that gas is in the garage and everything, they're not coming. Now, granted, some houses being built today, people want zero entry, and you can do that. Again, that's where a fire door comes in. Really important. It's got to seal up so they don't have any gases from your car or anything come in the house. But when you have a difference between the floor heights, the steps that you built, if it's more than 8 inches from the concrete floor to the finished floor in your house, well, now you need two steps. You can't have a step more than 8 inches in our code. And I'm not a building inspector. I'm not a code inspector and everything, but I know these things. So, and we're looking for these things. So now if you have two steps, they need to be equal. They have to be the same height. So you measure from the floor, the concrete floor to the finished floor, and you maybe use a level, and then, I have 12 and a half inches from floor. Okay. So what is that? I need two steps that are 6 1/4 inches, right? Now, well, that, those are small. Yeah, but you can't have a 12-inch step.
Right.
And you can't have an 8-inch step and then a 4-inch step. They have to be 6 1/4 each. So that's just some things that, that our code does require. And almost all of these things in our code are, it's all about safety. You know, the fire door is to keep the fire back from your house for 20 minutes, give you a chance to become aware of the fire and get out. The steps being equal is so you don't trip on them. Our brain subconsciously, we know when, you know, as you go through life, we walk up steps a lot, and they're all somewhere in that 6, maybe 7 3/4 inches somewhere, but never more than 8. And when you have a taller step, you're going to trip on.
Yeah. Like walk that. Around Italy a little bit. You'll notice that because there weren't those rules, yeah, right? Exactly. So you're like, it's, and as an American, you're walking on, and it's stone, it's uneven. Yeah. So, but just the variance in height, I found myself tripping more often while we were going around Italy than ever here because it's just not the same.
And so the same thing, we shouldn't have a step less than 4 inches.
Yeah.
Or, because if you can have a step less than 4 inches, that means you can probably make an 8-inch step. You know, so if you have 2 3.5-inch steps, that would be 7. Well, let's just make one step at 7. It's just more comfortable.
Right. So we have no guests this hour, so we'll take any questions at 855-616-1620. That's the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. Speaking of Siding Unlimited, Eric Brown will be our guest next hour. So all the things on the outside of your house, we could probably address next hour. But any questions you have, we'd love to hear from you. When we come back, I want to talk about some things that do require permits. You know, you're talking about putting headers in and putting doors and changing things. That's one thing we know. What else? What else? We'll get to that when we come back. It is the Fix It Show on WTMJ.
The Fix It Show with Dayton Kane and David Nason on WTMJ.
A belated happy birthday to you, David Nason.
Thank you very much, David.
Went to a Brewers game to celebrate, you said?
Yeah, we went to the NARI, National Association of Remodeling Industry. I'm a member, Siding Limbs, I'm a member. They had a party up at the Johnsonville Party Deck, so everybody that came along celebrated my birthday with me. So a bunch of people wished me a happy birthday. So thank you very much. Appreciate it. Getting closing in on the big 6-0. Not there yet, but
couple more
getting
years.
There. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you had a good night. Yeah, when although fun. You didn't see win.
Obviously my wife was there. My sons were with us as well. So we had a good time.
Good. Good. Yeah. Well, happy birthday.
Didn't see a good game, but. Well, the first inning was great.
Well, actually, we were in the lead for most of the game.
That home run that Bowers hit, literally, so we're up in that upper deck there. It came a couple feet from landing in the seats right there. I mean, it was like right there. You could see it coming at us. It was so cool.
That's nice. All right, so let's talk about things that need permits when you're working on your house. We already talked about if you're changing, putting in a window.
Right, structural
where there wasn't things. Yeah, so structural things, a door, a window.
Taking out a wall in your house, opening up
if
between
you're moving
rooms.
The structure in any way, changing that envelope or interior wall, you need a permit.
Right. And a lot of times when you start doing that, you run into electrical in the wall. Well, now, like I said, if you're just changing out fixtures and things like that, I think most building inspectors are like, yeah, fine, go ahead. But when you start rewiring, now that's beyond really what most homeowners should be doing. You know, you got to make sure you're making proper connections. You can't, and especially if you're opening a wall and if there's wires through the wall, you can't just dead end wires in the wall.
Right.
You know, they got to be in a box, a junction box, accessible. So then you got to understand a little bit of, you know, what you're doing with that. And that's why I hesitate on the show. I have in the past always to telling people how to fix electrical things because those are things like, if you don't do it right, you know, you're probably going to shock yourself, or you could do something that could start a fire.
Yeah, it's a hazard, right?
Yeah, so get an electrician, and then they should be getting a permit for the work they're doing.
So changing the structure, electrical needs a permit.
Yeah.
Plumbing.
Plumbing, replumbing things. But again, setting a toilet, no.
Yeah, probably, changing a faucet.
Changing a faucet, no. And even a sink, you know, if you want to replace a sink or – or let's say I see this a lot. People, if you want to put a new vanity in your, you go to Home Depot, Menards, where they sell a vanity cabinet top and sink all in one, and then you buy a faucet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those connections are all there already. in the wall. The drain's there. The water supplies are there. So you're just hooking things up.
Right.
In my opinion. I know building inspector, maybe they might think differently, but I think you're not replumbing it. But when you do that, that drain that you're probably the biggest thing that I see when that happens is these flexible drains.
Yeah.
Those are not allowed. You can buy them in the stores around here, but our plumbing code in Wisconsin does not allow them.
Okay.
And so other parts of the country do, but Wisconsin doesn't. So if the drain, you bought a new sink and the drain comes down and it's coming out of the wall, it doesn't line up. You have to buy the right fittings to get it to move over so that the P-trap does line up. So the flexible drain, oh, I'll just get a flexible drain and, you know, bend it over here.
No.
In theory, that oh, I can do that, but it's not allowed. They do get clogged and leak. But sure. Our plumbing code says that the interior of a drain has to be a clear, smooth surface.
Mechanicals you mentioned going into the break?
Yeah, so, well, when I say mechanicals, I'm...
Like furnace?
That's plumbing, electrical, heating, and cooling. Those are all mechanicals. Gotcha. But yes, heating, cooling. Not too many people are doing their own heating and cooling work, I don't think.
Not anymore.
Yeah, doing duct work. Now, okay, you can buy some flexible duct work and run something or anything, but, you know, how many people know how to do tin work? You know, that's...
Or have the equipment.
Or, yeah, know how to do that. But replacing a furnace on your own, that takes a bit of work. And as Jason Fox has told us, it's not about just putting the furnace in. You got to make sure that things are balanced. You got the right amount of airflow and all this stuff, too. So,
all right. We'll get to your questions. We had a couple come in. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. Thank you for listening to the Fix-It Show this morning.
WTMJ's The Fix-It Show with David Nason and Dayton Kane.
Welcome to the show, 7:25 on a Saturday. Admirals taking on the Chicago Wolves, 6 p.m. at Panther Arena tonight. If you're looking for something to do, you could head over that way.
Or watch the Badgers are playing Denver. The Wisconsin Badgers hockey team are playing Denver this afternoon, later this afternoon, I think. And that's the final. So if this is the Badger men's, the women's has already won the national championship. Yeah. So if the Badgers win this, I think the Big Ten will have won all the major championships.
Really?
In sports. Basketball was Michigan.
Yep.
The women's, I thought there was one other. And football was Indiana this year. So Michigan, Indiana. Now, if the Badgers win tonight, well, the Big Ten will swept all the major championships.
That's
cool. It'd be really cool to have the men's and women's from Wisconsin win both national championships.
That would be cool.
In hockey.
855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. How do you fix drywall nail pops?
Very carefully. Yeah. So a nail pop is usually, and it can be a screw too, is usually because that screw or nail came loose from, or maybe it didn't even hit the stud or the rafter or joist or truss, whatever it was in. So you usually have to put another nail or screw, the screw's better, about an inch and a half away from the other one. Just so tighten that up.
Yeah.
And this works for plaster too, with plaster cracks. When you got to, usually the material behind it, the substrate, is loose.
Okay.
So you got to tighten it up. And so you're going to cause a little more damage. Put the new screw in, and then going back, and you can take the old screw out or reset it. It's usually better just to take it out, because if you try to reset it, it came loose once.
Right.
It's probably going to come loose again. And then, you know, scrape it out a little bit, clean it up, use some mesh tape. Mesh tape's a little easier to deal with or work with than paper tape. Paper tape's good for corners and stuff, but mesh is good for something like that. And then when you're doing drywall repairs and cracks and everything, it's not a good idea to just use as much drywall mud as you can or spackling it as you can. It's best to do it in layers. Do a little bit at a time. Build it up. If you do a lot, it's just this big glob, you know, so put it in there, sand it smooth, another later, do a little bit. And then probably one of the more important things is once you get it filled in and sanded is you need to texture it. You got to try to match the texture. And that's going to probably be the most difficult part of this, because you can kind of, you can put some drywall compound. You can sand it if you don't have to, and then do some more and then sand it a little bit. But matching the texture, if you don't texture it and then you just go paint over it, you're going to see the spot where it looks different than the rest. And they make texture in a spray can. And so it looks like a sand texture or an orange peel texture. Orange peel is probably more like plaster kind of look. Or a knockdown where you spray it on and it's kind of like it splatters. And then you take a putty knife, but it's like a 6-inch knife or something. You kind of flatten it and you try to match what's there. Do your best you can. And then you can prime and paint it.
The hard part for me is all of our walls are smooth, flat paint. So to try to fix something like that for people that have that type of wall, it's going to be a little bit harder because you...
That's why we don't do smooth finish in homes. Smooth finish in commercial buildings is very common.
Yeah,
level one, they call it. But in a home, almost always we have a texture.
Yeah,
whether it's sand or knockdown.
When I had CertaPro redo our bathrooms, we added the orange peel texture to it because of that fact. You need something to kind of hide, to kind of mask, right?
When I worked at Kelman, we did a lot of water damage and everything. We had guys who were... We're literally artists at doing repairs, matching textures and everything. They just were so good at being able to do that.
Shout out to Dave Blazak. He's one of those guys.
Sure.
We work with him, and he does a great job. Like an artist. Like I said, they're magicians. You're like, how'd you do that?
Yeah.
But, all right.
The art, the objects to not be able to see the repair.
Exactly. Keep them coming, 855-616-1620. That was a good question. But now we go over to the WTMJ Breaking News Center with Elizabeth Linton. And good morning, Elizabeth.
More of your questions next. It's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Whenever or wherever you're listening, just know we're live on YouTube as well. You can watch a show there, see what's happening in the studio. It's very exciting stuff.
Yes,
very
exciting.
David's got his Best Inspections camel hat on. Very cool hat.
Yeah.
You're all decked out. Do you have an appointment later today?
No. Just thought I'd wear it today.
There you go. All right. We do have a call at 855-616-1620. That's the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. Let's say hello to Obi in Menominee Falls. Good morning. What's your question?
Good morning. I have two sump pumps that go through an outlet pipes out into an underground pipe that runs out into the ditch in front of my house.
Okay.
The two pipes come out, go into a pipe, go about it a foot east, then the downspout hooks in, and goes about another foot and a half, turns south, make a right angle, and go straight out to the ditch. They also go under a gas line, or go by a gas line that exits on the east side of my house. The pipe underground, I believe, is the old vitrified clay type pipe.
Oh.
Okay. And I've got some spots in the yard where it appears like it's sinking, so I'm assuming it's starting to break up over the years and looking to replace the pipe. I know part of it's going to have to be hand-dug. The rest could be dug once you get past the gas line. But who could I get to do something like that? And I also saw a video that if you put PVC pipe in there to replace whatever's there, you should put a bed of rock down before rather than just put it in soil. So what do you suggest?
I would agree with that, and I would agree also with using a PVC pipe or that landscape pipe. Do not use the black corrugated pipe. I know a lot of people do. It's less expensive, but that black corrugated pipe, they clog more often than a PVC pipe. Also, you cannot put like a snake or a Roto-Rooter type, cleaner through the black corrugated plastic, and you can through the PVC pipe if it becomes clogged.
Yeah. I have leaf filter covers on the gutter, so I'm not quite as worried about stuff getting down in there, but I still would prefer the PVC just go straight out.
Yeah, you don't need as much of a slope with the PVC pipe, but the smooth interior surface, the water's going to drain a little bit better. I would also recommend when you have a sump pump discharge coming out of your house, and then it just goes right down, elbows down, and goes underground. There should be some type of fitting there that you can either unscrew an access, like a clean out or something, so that you can unscrew that in the winter. Because very many times, if your pump needs to run in a time of the year when the ground's frozen, that pipe may be frozen full of water. And if you can unscrew that fitting, the water can then just spill out onto the ground. But if it can't, the pump may not be able to run, or it might back up into your house. So So a lot of, well, they do that on new construction, these fittings that allow that.
I've been here since 79 and it's never frozen up on me because I think I'm on a spring because it does run fairly frequently.
All right.
So,
well, who can do that?
Landscape
contractors generally deal with burying pipes and drains and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably trees on the
move. Alongside the house where the gas pipe is, it's got to be hand dug.
Probably, yeah. Any digging you're going to do on your property, you should call Digger's Hotline. But I think Trees on the Move is coming up here in a couple weeks. I'll be on the show, and they do that kind of work.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks for the call.
Have a great weekend. 855-616-1620. If you have a question or a text here that came in talking about the sump pump, says it runs a lot. We have very high water table. I do have a backup pump also. Should my main pump be replaced every so many years instead of waiting for it to wear out? And I think, who said it? Was it Mancuso? Like every 5 to 7 years you're supposed to replace them?
It does depend on how much it runs. And you really need to look at it too. I think unfortunately, a lot of new construction, the sump crock, the cover is just black plastic, so you can't look down in there.
Right.
And they really don't have any kind of port. So I don't know. I don't have one myself, but I just because my house is old, I don't have a sump crock in my basement, but I would probably want some kind of either a clear cover, like some radon companies do that, or have some kind of access port that I could look in every once in a while. And if it's not running, maybe pour water in it, make it run. Something else that came up recently, somebody was asking me about whether or not you can run your condensate drains into your sump crock. And when I say condensate drains, these are the hoses from your furnace.
Right.
And really, it's a bad idea for a few reasons, because the condensate coming out of your furnace is acidic, very high in acidic, because it's from the combustion gas. It's not just water. It's condensation from that. So it's very acidic. Number one, it's going to really corrode your pump, so it can shorten the life of your pump quite a bit. But also, then that's going to be pumped out onto your grass, and that's just really bad for your lawn, that high acidity in that water. So it depends on your, you know, how often you should replace your pump. How long is it running, how often does it fill up and then dry out, or is it underwater constantly? I think things that stay underwater don't get corroded as much.
Right.
Whereas if it fills up and then dries out and it's dry for a while, that tends to make a pump get all corroded and rusty. So it's really something you just got to kind of look at every once in a while. You can't just, you know, think that your pump down in the corner of your basement is going to be, oh, that's okay. That would be
a good, like, put on the January list, right? So go down, test it, pour some water in, because spring's when we get the big high rains and flooding.
Yeah.
So make sure it's working before spring gets here, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So January, February.
Yeah, it's inside your house. It's not like you're dealing with the cold. But, yeah, something to go down and check.
Yeah.
You know, open up the crock. Even you might have a radon system, so you might have to cut the caulk around it and open it up, check things out. Sure. You know, just right about the same time you drain your water heater.
Yeah. Good question. Another one came in, says, I have a question about ceiling fans. Which direction do they rotate when it's summertime? We always start getting this question right about now.
I think if you look up it, it's going clockwise.
Nope. Other way.
Really?
Okay. Counterclockwise for summer.
Well, it depends which way you're looking at it.
If you're looking up, it's got to be, you're looking like a clock. So it's counterclockwise.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going to argue with
you. All right,
you probably looked that up.
I did. I did look that one up because I don't even have ceiling fans in my house, so I don't worry about it. But this is an interesting one from Steve in Oshkosh, and I'm not sure I quite understand what he's asking, but let's talk about it. It says, if you have this roof extender spray put on shingles and the roof leaks, will that pass inspection if you want to sell? If the roof's leaking,
regardless of whether you spray anything on it or not, if it's leaking, no.
Yeah.
If it's obvious that it's leaking, meaning we can see it either in the attic or, you know, on stains on your ceiling, you know, water's coming into your house somewhere somehow, and you know it's leaking. If you know it's leaking, you should be disclosing that.
Right.
And that's going to be a big red flag to somebody wanting to buy your house.
Right.
So you should fix it.
And I don't think that roof extender stuff they spray on claims to stop leaking, leaks. Right? No, it's just supposed to keep the shingles more pliable.
It's supposed to extend the life
something.
Of the shingles, yeah. Right. But a leak is more of a problem. It's not always related to the life of the shingle. If you had a nail, a shiner
usually
or something that can rust, that can leak.
Yeah.
Or, if the joints are not, if you're
lined
you're,
up properly.
Yeah, if you're, what do we call that? Staggered.
Staggered.
Yeah. Yeah. If that's not done correctly, that can happen on a newer roof.
Yeah.
So,
If you've ever seen a roof put on wrong like that, it looks freaky.
Oh, it jumps out.
It looks weird.
You can't really see it from the ground a lot, but as soon as you get on the roof, it's like, whoa, yeah, they did this wrong.
Yeah. It's crazy. All right, we are going to take a break. More of your calls and texts when we get back. Keep them coming. We appreciate it. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. It is a Fix-It Show.
Need advice? Call 855-616-1620. Our expert home inspector is here to help. It's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
David Nason over there would be the expert home inspector they're talking about. How do people get in touch with you?
Probably best is through my website, bestinspectionsllc.com. There's a contact page on there. My email, bestinspectionsllc@gmail. If you want to text me, you can. 262-443-8958. I get so much, I'm sure a lot of people, I get so many spam calls.
Yeah.
So
It's better to go to the website.
I will admit, I don't answer my phone a lot. I mean, so... If you're serious about wanting to get in touch with me, texting me is the best way.
No, not texting you. Oh, not yes. calling yeah. you, but yeah, texting you.
Texting
gotcha.
Me.
Gotcha.
But the reality is most of the time people are calling. I'm on an inspection or doing something anyways, and so I can't always take a phone call. So
sure.
Texting me, I can at least look at it, and if it's something that I need to respond to quickly, I can say, hey, I'm on inspection. I can get right back to you or answer a question.
All right, let's go to the text line now. Yeah. I have an iron curtain and the discharge pipes leave a rusty mess on the cement floor all around the floor drain. We're new to the house and it looks like years of buildup. How do I get rid of the rust? It is about a 3 to 4 foot circle around the drain. That's crazy.
Yeah. So that means the discharge hose or
it's
something
just
is just kind
place.
Of on the floor. It really should be in the drain. So getting rid of it, you're probably not going to get rid of the stain completely. There are some products, I think, if you go to my website, which we just mentioned, bestinspectionsllc.com, and you go to the content tabs, Tom Fazer wrote a bunch of articles, and one of them's got all kinds of cleaning products. I can't remember exactly the title of it, but you'll see it pretty easily. And there are some products about taking rust out of concrete, but it may be stained permanently. Concrete is porous. So there's a good chance that it's going to be stained permanently, just like your foundation walls. Once they're stained, you can clean up anything on it, the efflorescence, and if you might have a little bit of mold, you can clean that off. With that, it's usually warm, soapy water. With this on the floor, I think it's just a matter of cleaning and scrubbing it. If you really don't like the stain, probably the only thing you can do is paint it.
Yeah.
Get some, but it's got
to
be dry.
Is it hurting anything to have that stain there?
It right around the floor drain, it's probably corroding the concrete. But again, all these discharge waters that we're having from our softener not as much, but from your furnace, from your AC, AC not as much. It's really just your furnace. And now that I think about it, or a boiler, a high efficient boiler, that discharge is very highly acidic, which I mentioned before, and that's going to corrode the concrete around it. And maybe your floor drain cover is all rusty. But what I've seen other people do is you take the hose and you zip tie it to the drain. So I have several things going to my floor drain, and I just zip tie them so they stay there in place, and then so I know they're going into the drain rather than spilling all over the floor.
Yep.
So that's what I would probably suggest is just cleaning it, scrubbing it, just getting it clean. And again, clean doesn't necessarily mean you're getting rid of the stain because the stain is in the concrete. Get it clean, put a fan on it, let it dry. And if you don't like the color there, just find a concrete paint. Go to a paint store, and find a concrete paint that you can use.
Keep the questions coming, 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. One more segment in this hour before we're joined by Eric Brown from Siding Unlimited. It is a Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
David Nason and Dayton Kane. It's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Sponsored each week by Siding Unlimited and J&B Construction. A high of 51 by the lake today, 58 inland. Partly cloudy, chance of showers this afternoon. And this is the ear of the lion, as Isaac has deemed it. Because we can't play Eye of the Tiger. We're playing Ear of the Lion instead. I love it. That'll never leave my brain. It'll always be stuck there, Isaac.
Isaac, they call it earworm?
Isaac is in the producer's booth. If you call in, he'll get you on air with us. We do have another text that came in. Says, hello, can you comment on the prep process and paints required to paint a small vented bathroom that includes a shower with tiled walls and a painted ceiling? Thanks very much for the show and the advice. Stephen Hartford.
Well, Tom always said, clean, dry, and dull. So if you're going to paint, your surfaces need to be clean, dry, and dull. So whatever you have on the walls now, wash them down. You know, you don't have to get in there and do it, but do a, you know, bucket of warm soapy water and just wipe things down, get the dust off and everything. If there's any greasy, and I mean, if somebody in the house is smoking, you got to get rid of the nicotine. So washing walls,
let it dry.
If there's any loose paint, scrape the loose paint. I mean, you might have to do a little bit of spackling to do that. And then a good primer and paint. That's pretty much the process. And in a bathroom, you probably want something with a sheen, at least a, you know, a
satin finish
or more. Semi-gloss is pretty popular in bathrooms. That's what I put on mine. We painted our walls and the ceiling all the same color. Looks kind of cool.
Matt Hefter was talking about that last week. What did he call it? Like, start with an E or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We're at, more and more people are doing that.
Yeah, using the color just as a background.
Yeah.
And then your decoration and everything. Yeah,
that was interesting.
Right.
Okay, another one come. Hello, Mr. Fix-It. Well, oh, no, it just says Fix-It there. Because we can't say Mr. Fix-It. That was Tom Faison. That's the original. That's the OG.
Yeah.
My water softener tank leaked since replaced, and the basement floor has water and salt. I have swept it, mopped it. Still, it has salt and stain. Is there anything that will make the cleanup better?
So I mentioned before on my website, and I went and found it. It's an article Tom wrote. Just Fix It, the absolute best repair products. And on there is a list of all these products for cleaning and repair stuff that Tom liked. I was trying to look to see if there was one for this. Maybe this Dry Lock Etch from UGL. It's a liquid or powder. So basically, you're probably looking for, or maybe there's a type of acid. Starts with an
muriatic?
A. Muriatic acid.
Yeah.
Be careful. You know, you got to, you know, very careful with that, wearing gloves, probably a respirator as well. But there are some products that you can find, probably more so at, if I was looking for something like that, I would probably go to an Ace Hardware.
Oh, yeah.
You know, nothing necessarily against the bigger box stores, but all the Elliott's Ace Hardware's around here, those are the stores. If I'm looking for something specific, you know, if I need a fastener or something, they got the aisles of all the screws and all that. So that's,
and somebody will come up and help you.
And people who know largely, you know, what they're talking about. But those, if you're in the area here, the one on a National Avenue, just past, or actually it's on Oklahoma, I think. Oklahoma, just west of Highway 100. But just, you can find so much stuff there at these places.
All right, that does it for hour number one. Thanks for all the calls and texts. We appreciate that. Eric Brown from Siding Unlimited in next hour.
This has been the Fix-It Show on WTMJ, presented by J&B Construction and Siding Unlimited. Advice and opinions expressed during the program are solely that of the hosts or guests, and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.